emperors do that to somebody? Walled him up in a cell beneath the Senate building and let him starve to death? He searched the cloudless sky for a trace of a contrail. Some evidence that the Yamagata plane was near. Nothing. The sky was a flawless bowl of blue, unmarred by any planes whatsoever. As their car trundled over the warped wooden boards of the castle's moat bridge, Dan saw that there were six men standing at the main gate. They were in shirt sleeves, dark, lean men with stubble on their faces and short-barreled shotguns slung over their shoulders. Rabbit guns. Luperia. The kind that armies all over the world had adopted for close-in killing. Another half-dozen armed men were sitting around the sunny inner courtyard. One of them trotted alongside the car as it slowed to a stop. The driver clicked the door locks and the shotgun-armed man pulled Dan's door open. Ducking through, Dan stretched tiredly and felt his spine and tendons pop. He let the late afternoon sun soak into his bones. It felt good, although his legs seemed wobbly. Must be the gravity, he told himself. Looking up at the fitted stone walls around the courtyard, he saw a face in one of the narrow barred windows. Jane. Dan's stomach did a flip. He grinned foolishly and waved to her. Jane's face disappeared from the window, and another took its place. A red-haired young woman who looked enough like Kate. Dan remembered Kate's sister, so she's here too. Wonder if Kate's really going to join the party. Gaetano came around the car with a smarmy smile on his face. You see? I spoke the truth, eh? There she is, waiting for you. As Malik pulled himself out of the car, an older man, dressed in a dead black suit, stepped out of the doorway and beckoned to Gaetano. He went to the man, who looked to Dan like a butler or some sort of house servant. The man spoke briefly to Gaetano. What do you suppose he is saying? Malik asked, sounding slightly nervous. Dan barely heard him through the earplug. Telling him what's on the menu for dinner, Dan said, shifting to put Malik on the side of his good ear. Malik huffed. Us, most likely. Us, Dan agreed. I have more good news for you, Gaetano said. An old friend of yours has come all the way from the moon to be with us. She should arrive here in a few minutes. Kate Williams, sure enough. Dan wondered why she would leave Alphonsus, then remembered that she wanted more than anything else to protect her sister. We will wait here for her to arrive, Gaetano said. Her car is halfway up the cliff already. I want to see Jane, said Dan. You can wait a few minutes. Then we can have a big, happy reunion, all of us together. They also serve who stand and wait, Dan said to himself. Malik looked more apprehensive than ever. The seriousness of this pickle is just starting to sink into him. We could all get ourselves killed. Dan strolled slowly away from the car, across the sunlit courtyard, noticing that at least two of the guys with shotguns watched him with beady eyes, hands on their weapons. If Gaetano knows that Kate's car is halfway up the cliff, maybe he's got guards posted along the road. Or maybe Kate just phoned him from the car to let him know she's almost here. He enjoyed the warmth of the sun through his woolen shirt. He felt perspiration trickling down his ribs. Bake the bad stuff out of me, he said to the sun. Boil away the fear. Make me strong again. He heard the boards of the bridge thudding, and an executive limousine swung through the gate, crunching across the gravel of the courtyard. It stopped behind the car that Dan had come in. A strapping big chauffeur hopped out and opened the door for Kate Williams. Dan stared at the chauffeur. There was no mistaking his size or his rough red beard. Even in an ill-fitting suit of livery and a cap that was almost comically too small for him. How in the hell did Big George get into this game? 41. Jane waited impatiently for them to open the door to her room, striding from the barred window to the locked door and then back again. Gaetano was keeping them down there in the courtyard, stretching out the minutes, torturing her. Dan was there. He had seen her, he had even waved. Close enough to touch, almost. Almost. What are they waiting for? Jane blurted, one hand fidgeting with her hair. She had pinned it back, smooth and sleek, but now she wondered if it wouldn't look better falling loosely to her shoulders. Kimberly's hair was a helmet of molten copper. She was watching Jane curiously, a sly little half-smile curling her lips.
"Relax," Kim said. "They'll be here soon enough."
But Jane rushed back to the window. She saw a limousine pull through the guarded main gate. The chauffeur trudged around and opened the door for a woman to step out. Kate Williams.
"Your sister's here," she called to Kimberly. "Big deal."
"They're starting inside." At last," she thought. Jane's eyes darted to the dusty mirror in the corner of the room. She had picked a simple forest green jumpsuit from the closet full of clothes Gaetano had provided. Sensible low-heeled shoes. No need for glamour today. If I know Dan, there's going to be a ruckus before this is all over. Kimberly, in a pastel miniskirted sundress, seemed to be catching Jane's nervousness. Her lips had become a tense, thin line, her hands knotted into fists.
"Why did he bring her here?" she asked,
her voice brittle.
"Rafe and I were getting along fine. We don't need her here,"
Jane answered.
"Rafe is a lying, murdering, scheming bastard. I imagine he'll enjoy watching you and your sister hurt each other." "Hurt? I never hurt Kate."
"From all that you've told me, that's not true," Jane said. Then she added as gently as she could, "And you know it." Kimberly looked away without answering. The bolt of the door clanked and the heavy door groaned inward. Jane held her breath. Gaetano stepped through, followed by Malik, Kate Williams, and finally Dan. Four armed men stood out in the hallway. Jane ran to Dan and threw her arms around his neck. Dan grabbed her as if she were life itself and held her to him as they kissed, ignoring all the others for a long, sweet moment.
"I love you,"
she whispered into his ear. Dan barely heard her through the biochip plug. He whispered back, "I've always loved you." Gaetano clapped his hands slowly, sardonically.
"Bravo," he quipped. "Bravissimo. Now let's get down to business."
Dan grinned crookedly as he let go of Jane. She stood beside him, their backs to the door.
"You have arranged transport for Mrs. Scanwell and myself?" Malik asked. "In due time, Vasily," said Gaetano. "There are one or two points we must clear up first."
Dan scratched at his ear, then stuck his little finger in and touched the biochip transceiver. It felt warm, but nothing happened. No ringing in his ear. No way to know if the damned thing worked or not. He glanced over at Malik.
"Son of a bitch hasn't activated his unit." The Russian's hands stayed down at his sides.
"Rafe, you'll have to make your transportation arrangements for the three of us," said Jane. "I'm not leaving here without Dan."
Gaetano's eyebrows rose slightly.
"I'm afraid that will be impossible, my dear Jane. Dan remains here. He will be kept well and happy as long as you behave yourself once you get back to Paris."
"I don't believe you," Jane said.
"I won't believe that Dan's safe as long as he's in your hands."
Smiling, Gaetano gestured toward Kate Williams.
"Look, I've even brought him an old friend from the moon. He'll have plenty to amuse himself with while he's here."
Dan laughed. "I'd rather amuse myself with a nest of cobras."
"I'm not leaving here without Dan," Jane said firmly.
"Yes, you are," said Gaetano.
"You have no choice.
And his continued good health will depend entirely on your continuing cooperation." "He's right," Malik said, stepping toward Jane. "You'll have to come back to Paris with me, Jane. We have no option in the matter."
Jane glowered at the Russian, then at Gaetano.
"It's all right," Dan said. "Do what they're telling you. I'll be okay."
She studied Dan more closely. He seemed pale, thinner than she had ever remembered him. He was wearing a heavy woolen shirt and rough Levi's. There was perspiration on his brow, his upper lip. Dan made himself smile for her.
"I'm okay," he said, anticipating her question. "Just a little dose of radiation. Nobo's medics have already stuck enough counteractants in me to shut down a nuclear reactor."
But he felt weak, knees shaky. If the Yamagata medicines were doing any good, he had yet to feel it.
"Then it's settled," Gaetano said. You two can return to Paris tomorrow morning.